What's up, everyone? You are rocking with the Zen Courses Show, episode 15. Aw, episode 15 at the end of 2015. How cool is that? Welcome to the Zen Courses Show, the show for online course creators who care about building actionable, meaningful, and profitable online courses. If you're a solo entrepreneur, tech geek, or creative, the Zen Courses Show is the place to get expert advice for creating your online course, overcoming overwhelm, and growing a balanced business. To get the full experience, sign up at zencourses.co, where you'll get access to free lessons, resources, and more. Again, that's zencourses.co. Welcome to the final episode of the Zen Courses Show for 2015. So we're going to cover three things in this last episode of 2015. I'm probably going to say that like a million times because I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited about 2016. I don't know if you are, but I feel like 2016 is just going to be an amazing year. I can feel the energy on the horizon and it's exciting. I don't know what else to say. I'm really geeked up about it. So I'm going to talk about a few things. First thing we're going to talk about is I wanted to take an opportunity to kind of share a bit about what's been going on behind the scenes of the Zen Courses Show and the Zen Courses blog. I don't always give you that behind the scenes inside scoop, so to speak. So I'm going to take some time to talk about that. Second thing we're going to talk about is what's coming up in 2016. Just kind of looking ahead to 2016 and sharing what you can expect from the Zen Courses Show and the Zen Courses blog. And then the third thing is a bit of a surprise. So you're going to have to listen to the end for that. But before we get started, the main thing, the most important thing of 2015 has been you. You made 2015 amazing for me. And I just want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart for being part of the Zen Courses show, the Zen Courses blog, the Zen Courses movement. Many of you have emailed me directly, left comments on the iTunes, left reviews on iTunes, left comments on the blog. I've just been blown away by the response. The podcast has only been live for about 3 months, and we've got about 1,200 subscribers. And I think that is amazing. I never would have thought that that would happen. I never would have thought that that would happen so quickly. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of it. So as a bigger thank you and to highlight you and your amazing work, I want to take a moment to share some of your successes in 2015. Are you ready? Let's get into it. So, congratulations to you for all of your accomplishments in 2015. A few of you have reached out to me directly, and I just want to take this time to share your wins for this year because what you've done is amazing. First up, Scott, happy holidays, Scott. In 2015, you started defining your customer and taking the first steps to create your site. I know you are still figuring out all the pieces, and I think you're gonna do great things in 2016. So congratulations for taking the first step, Scott. Nadia, in 2015, you got your site up and started exploring equipment and software to create your course. That is just like, how sweet is that? I checked out your site, you did a great job with it. Shout out to Nadia. Ryan, in 2015, you signed up for Teachery and started connecting with clients and you're on your way to creating a great course in 2016. I can't wait to see what it's about and to connect with you in Fizzle. Tara, in 2015, you ran your courses like a boss, and you listened to your gut about figuring out a simpler way to do it. Kudos to you for reaching out and making changes that you needed to make and just making it work. That's amazing. Chris, in 2015, you did something for me. You made me feel better about sending out the wrong email to a bunch of people, of which you were one. Total rookie move. Thanks for making it easier to deal with. Chris, you rock. And last but certainly not least, Allie, in 2015, you started working on your psychotherapy course and you have done an amazing job. I can't wait to see what the final results are when you launch in 2016. Okay, that is by no means everyone, but it's just a snippet of your awesomeness and all of the things that you have done in 2015. Give yourself a pat on the back. I'm proud of you, and I can't wait to see what you do next year. Speaking of next year, let's talk about what's coming in 2016. First thing, of course, more interviews. I'm interviewing some really amazing people. I can't wait to share those interviews with you. I've already recorded many interviews that are going to launch in 2016. Namely, someone I respect so, so much, Brennan Dunn from WFreelancing.com. He and I had a great chat. Can't wait to share that with you. Brianne Dick, Brianne from MyNameIsBrianne.com. We had an amazing chat just about adult learning principles, and I'm not going to share anymore. It's a great interview. Can't wait to share it. Carmen Spagnola. Carmen is a good friend of Sarah Selecki's, and we just had just a very deep chat. I think that if you loved Sarah's chat, you're definitely going to love my chat with Carmen and learning about her courses and how she does things over in her corner of the internet. Caleb Wojcik from DIY Video Guy. Caleb is going to share some video tips with you in 2016 because I know a lot of you are creating video courses. And Caleb, in my opinion, like whenever I have a video question, Caleb is the person that I go to. So that's just a snippet of some of the interviews coming up. There are many more, but I can't tell you everything. I got to leave something as a surprise for next year. If you have any recommendations for people that you recommend I interview, send those to hello@zencourses.co. That's hello@zencourses.co, not .com. Shout out to LaTanya, who has sent me some recommendations. Thank you so much. Also coming up in 2016, I will be doing more interviews with the creators of several WordPress plugins that I know you guys want to know about. And there are plugins that I've talked about on the blog, namely WP Courseware and LearnDash. It's going to be super important for me to interview the creators of these plugins so that they can tell you in their words what the plugins are all about. And kind of getting into the next thing, for those of you who read the Zen Courses blog, I am playing with some ideas of redesigning it in 2016. So stay tuned for that. Last but certainly not least, many of you have reached out to me directly with questions, or you've answered survey questions that I've sent out. Thank you so much for taking 2 minutes out of your day to share what you're struggling with and give me some feedback on how I can best help you. I have been listening to everything that you've shared with me, and it's clear that you want me to create training to help you. So in 2016, I am doing that. Be on the lookout for courses and products to help you create your best course in 2016. Plus, I've got some other surprises, namely There will be webinars and some motivational merchandise. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about it. So lots of exciting things coming in 2016. I'm telling you, Zen Courses is a movement. It's not just a blog. It's bigger than the podcast. We are creating a movement for, to borrow my friend Chase Reeves' word, matterful online courses. That's a mouthful. Matterful. Anyway, courses that matter. So the best way to find out about all of this is to be signed up for the Zen Courses newsletter. So if you're already signed up, great. I love you. You're the best. If you're not signed up, I still love you. You're the best. Let's be friends. Head over to zencourses.co/newsletter and enter your email address to get updates. Again, that is zencourses.co/newsletter to get updates on all of the things that I will be launching and doing in 2016, as well as my articles that I publish every Monday and my free email series on how to pick the best format for your online course. So all of those things, sign up for the newsletter and they will be in your inbox. Not all at once, just like, yeah, you know how it works. So we've taken a look forward and now I want to take a moment to take a look back and talk about what's been going on behind the scenes of the Zen Courses show and podcast, or that's the same thing, the Zen Courses show and site. I guess the bigger question is what hasn't been going on behind the scenes. I don't always talk about what's happening with me because, you know, the show isn't about that. It's about you and it's about the guests that I interview and how their stories can help you. But there's been a lot going on. This has been a huge year for me personally. For those of you who know, the biggest thing this year has been that I made a decision to transition my existing business, LearnWise, transition away from that and focus on Zen Courses, working to focus on Zen Courses full time. It was a really hard decision. And, you know, to be honest, I delayed it for a lot longer than I should have because I struggled with listening to my gut. Ultimately, I decided to make the move because with LearnWise, I was helping corporations and colleges create online courses. And I felt so passionately about helping entrepreneurs like you create courses because that, in my opinion, is the future. Online learning is not a new thing, but it is new for entrepreneurs and small businesses. So I just want to say to you, if you're just getting in and you feel like you're behind the curve, you're not. There is so much more to come. I don't think, like, I get so excited just thinking about it. There's so much more to come with online courses and online learning. So that was the first big thing for me this year. You know, on a more personal note, my parents had some health issues this year, and it's been really challenging. It's not anything that that anyone can prepare you for, right? It's just something that you have to go through and deal with as best you can. And fortunately, things are not as grave as they could be. Some other people are going through things that are much more serious. But just that realization of seeing people you love deal with illnesses, all of that has been happening behind the scenes for me. But what's also been happening has been this amazing shift, this shifting energy. And I don't know if you can feel it. Can you feel it? I hope you can feel it. Like, there is this shift happening with online entrepreneurs, and we are creating our own courses and changing the face of lifelong learning and the opportunities available and making things that matter. So that energy has been moving behind the scenes for me, and I hope you feel it too. I hope it's motivating you. And if you have been worried about starting, getting on this train too late, you're not too late. You're right on time. There is so much more to come. I get so excited just thinking about it. Okay, I said I had a surprise for you, and I do. Instead of the typical outro, I thought we would try something a little bit different and go out on the highlights of the most popular episodes of the Zen Courses Show in 2015. Okay, you're going to hear from Jason Zook from Teachery.co, co-founder of Teachery, and he's going to share just some great tidbits from his life of what prompted him to be an entrepreneur and to create an online course platform. You're going to also hear from Emma Holmes, aka DJ Shorty. And in this episode, this is one of the most popular episodes on the Zen Courses Show. She is going to share how starting an online school has completely changed her life, as well as just some tips that she used to get started. Also coming up in these highlights will be Brendan Hufford from HustleHeart.co. Brendan is a full-time dad, and he has a full-time job, and he's a full-time husband, and he does a lot of things full-time, but part-time, on the side, he creates online courses and writes for his blog. So he's going to share what works for him. And then, of course, we have Sarah Selecki. Sarah has had the most downloaded episode on the Zen Courses Show. So definitely listen to her highlight. And then finally, we have Darlene Hildebrand from Digital Photo Mentor. Darlene is just an amazing photographer, and she shares, you know, her method for just getting the course out there. Just tons of insight. Enjoy. How did you transition from what you were doing, all of your crazy ideas? I guess the first thing is, how did you get the courage to decide to take these ideas on?
Yeah, I mean, I think initially, like leaving the 9-to-5 world, I just got fed up.
Yeah.
And I bet a lot of people listening to this can either relate to that feeling they've had or that feeling they're getting to. And I think for me that there's a big emphasis in entrepreneurship of risk-taking and courageousness and all this stuff. And I think I have that now to an nth degree. But at the beginning, I didn't. I just had gotten to a point where I was so fed up. And I had this feeling in my gut of just things didn't feel right. I felt like I wasn't in the right place in the world and that there was more for me out there. And I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling too. You know, you kind of grow up thinking there are these certain paths that you have to take, and there aren't. I mean, especially now with the internet. I mean, oh my God, like, you can do so many ridiculous things, and I've done them. And I think that's just really cool. So yeah, I've really embraced this life of an entrepreneur. I really feel like I'm in the right place now. But you're right. I mean, as I've said before, I ate a lot of candy at school, but I certainly didn't have a job selling any or making any money or any entrepreneurial stuff. I mean, I was a pretty quiet kid, played a little bit of sports, read a lot of comic books. And then kind of the internet, you know, shaped me into, you know, an entrepreneur and showed me the opportunities as I watched like the $1 million homepage happen and things like that. And I just said, wow, like anybody can do this stuff? Okay, well, why don't I start trying it?
There's something, at least I feel, there's something very beautiful about getting to the point where you may have had a business that's been successful. And then you get to this point where you're kind of, there's a shift. And you want to figure out how you can add more value. And I think there's something really beautiful with like embracing what you know and sharing that with people to help them do their thing. So it's just a fun and a great place to be in.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think part of it for me was I really had to redefine like what my values were and what my things in my life were that brought me value personally. So, you know, two separate things there. You know, I don't value money as much as I thought I did. You know, I don't measure my success based on how much money is in my bank account anymore. I measure it more on how much control I have in my life and how much flexibility I have in my work. And those things bring me much more happiness and excitement than an extra zero in my bank account, because I had the extra zero a couple years prior, but I was so stressed out. I was so overwhelmed. I was so overworked. And I was not enjoying the money. If anything, I was always just scrambling and fighting to try and make more. So reestablishing, or really establishing those values, helped me kind of make that pivot in my life, if you will. And I like to tell people that a book you can read that really sets this up nicely for you is The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. It's just a fantastic way to put this in perspective. If you're sitting looking at something that maybe you don't enjoy, or you see a big hurdle that you need to jump over, it's not necessarily something that's going to stop you or that will be the thing that breaks you down forever. It's just an obstacle that once you get over will lead you into something even better or greater.
So yeah, my name's Emma, or Emma Shorty, whatever you want to call me. I'm a scratch DJ. I've been scratching since the year 2000. And yeah, I run an online school, schoolofscratch.com. And basically it's to teach anybody that wants to learn to scratch how to do that.
So let's talk about going back to that place where you're like, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to teach people. What were some of your fears and initial obstacles while you were starting out?
Okay. I'll be super honest. I can remember the day I decided, it's like back in, I think 2008, 2009. So it took me a while to build up to it.
Yeah.
But DJ Cuba, who's like the most amazing scratch DJ. Yeah,
he's crazy.
Then he opened this school and I was like, wow, like why would I open a school? Like why would anyone want to learn from me? Like really negative when they could learn with Cuba, who's like the absolute master. So there was that kind of comparing myself and the whole valuing what you do, realizing that actually there's space for everybody. Like if 100 more DJ schools opened, it would be cool because everyone teaches differently. Everyone has a different style. So that was kind of the initial thing.
So I have to ask the question because what you just said made me want to know.
Sure.
How has starting School of Scratch changed your life?
Oh, my days. How has it not changed my life? So I quit my job, basically. That was quite a big thing for me. It's just made me become stronger and more confident in my ability to create something from scratch and to get comfortable with maybe not always feeling comfortable. It's not secure. And to keep trying to create new things and experiment. I get to talk to really cool people like you. It's awesome. What else?
So I had done a course prior. I ran a course called Sidepreneur University. Worst name ever for a course. Like nobody can spell it and it's so long and horrible. But again, like minimum viable product. I don't care about the name. I don't care about the domain. Like I just make and do and go. And I hope that's a lesson people can take from this with courses. Like I just make them and go. And if they sell, they sell. And if they don't, they don't. But I tend to have the idea and like a minimum viable product first before I make anything. And the way I launched the course was just, I ran a couple Facebook ads. I primarily just launched it to my podcast audience. At the time, that was all I had. I wasn't really writing anywhere. And I just said, hey, I have this course and it's pretty much 8 weeks long. Here's how, from beginning to end, how you start a side business. And people signed up and I said, all right, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to deliver it live every Thursday night at 8 for 8 weeks. And you're going to pay me the money. And I built a landing page and lead pages and people signed up and they paid me. And I delivered the course live and made the workbooks, you know, every single week and built it based on feedback.
So Sidepreneur University, you went through it. You decided that wasn't those weren't the people you wanted to serve. And you were deep into hustle and heart. You wanted to focus on dads. Where did the idea for productivity fundamentals come into play, your recent course?
Surveys, all surveys. I have another survey out right now that I just sent out. I have a really cool Facebook group that I run of all entrepreneur dads, and I have a mailing list that goes with the site. Send it out to the mailing list, send it, you know, really pushing it hard in the Facebook group and anywhere else that I can. And the first survey I sent out, I said, what's your number one struggle? And literally every single one came back and just said, I don't have time.
And lastly, what is one simple quote, question, or mantra, whatever, that keeps you going when the going gets tough?
So I love this Tony Robbins quote where he says, if you can't, you must. And if you must, you can. And I think like the end of it is kind of hokey. It's like, oh, Tony, that's witty. It's circular. I get it. Like all blah, blah, blah. But like, I've always felt myself kind of coming back to this idea of like, whenever I feel like I can't do something, it's like, well, crap, now I have to go do that.
So tell us a bit about yourself, who you are and what do you do?
My background is in photography, and I've been a professional photographer for over 25 years. And in the last 4 years, I shifted my focus to teaching, starting with in-classroom classes, and now I do most of my teaching online. I have courses online, articles every week on my site, and even photography tours. So my focus is educating amateur photographers who just really want to enjoy the craft and help them take better pictures.
So tell me, because I know you do so many different methods or modalities of teaching, so tell me how online is different from your face-to-face experience. And well, how you manage that difference.
The number one thing is that you don't get that feedback from your students, right? When you're in a classroom and you say a couple things and you ask them, you know, did you get that? You can see on their face whether they're getting it or they're completely lost, right? Yeah. And so you don't get that instant feedback from an audience who's watching you at home later. So you really kind of have to, or what I've done anyways in my experience, is draw from my classroom experience because I know the kinds of questions they're going to have. Because I've taught this same course that I built online, I've taught that same course in the classroom for 3 years. I know at which point people have struggles. I know the questions they've had. And we actually built an FAQ, an entire FAQ video lesson into our course based on those questions.
Nice. So I'm going to stop you right there because for anyone listening, you just mentioned three key things. So the first, okay. I mean, they are great, not just for online courses, but for online business in general, of just starting somewhere. You know, what we hear, a minimal viable product, getting something out there, which was your first course, which is 4 weeks to better photography.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be perfect. As long as the content is there and it's valuable and it's helping people, then that is a great first step. And then the second thing you mentioned was then you learned what, you know, from some of the challenges and what worked, and you were able to put in more investment for your second course. And the third thing that I love that you said is you knew what your audience wanted, which is so key. And we put a lot of effort into building something. So thank you for sharing those three tips. I just had to stop you there because I was like, wow, she just shared a lot.
I highly recommend that for anybody that has this fear of, I need to make it perfect. Because I don't know, you've probably heard this before too. People that have been in business for a while and have these amazing products, they will all tell you the same thing. Their first one sucks.
Yeah. Chatted over email, you made the comment and you alluded to it earlier and you said, oh, I could have used so much help when I was starting out. So let's go back. Let's time travel back to that moment when you decided, okay, people are asking for me to teach online. What were your biggest challenges when you started?
Oh my gosh. What wasn't a challenge? I didn't know how to do anything. What I would have done is just like call you. Like, where do I start? Big challenges. I didn't know how to code. I didn't know how to code. Didn't know WordPress. Didn't know how to edit video. Didn't know how to transcribe my audio. Didn't really know how to do audio, although I was using GarageBand on my Mac, and that's we did some of that. I didn't have a good camera, so I rented a good camera that had a really great lens. Didn't know how to use it. The videos are a little funny because it was the first time we've ever used that camera, and the focus is really touchy. What wasn't a challenge was what I was teaching. I knew what I wanted to teach. I knew how I wanted to teach it. I knew my lesson plan inside out, and I knew who my students were, and I knew where they would falter, and I knew where their strengths would soar. I knew all of that, and thank goodness for that, because all the problems really were technical and very, very solvable. Because one of the things that I do in person that was the most difficult to transfer to an online self-paced, the most difficult thing to transfer to a self-paced course was giving prescriptions, what I call prescriptions, to my authors based on what they're writing and what they're reading and what their joys and strengths and you know, where they can strengthen themselves more, where all of that is, just tell them what to read, giving them personalized reading subscription or prescriptions, not subscriptions. And usually I can do that by paying attention to my students in class because I'm reading them. I'm hearing what they're working on. I see them. We have conversations. I know what they're reading. So I have that, that back and forth. I needed to transfer that somehow online to someone I wasn't meeting in person. And what I did was develop a quiz, a pretty long, fairly complicated quiz, asking a whole slew of questions about what they're writing and what their reading preferences and styles are. Kind of like a personality quiz, I guess, like a Myers-Briggs sort of thing, except for writing. And then I had to figure out how to put that quiz online. And we got someone to code it. It's still there, and it's like kind of grainy essence, but it does the trick. It works. It does the trick. Like the technology worked. It does the trick. It works. People understand it. And they do receive their recommended reading list as a result of that. It's just sort of natural. I think that, that good teachers tweak their materials as the years go on to, as they learn. When you're doing that, you get a sense, or I got a sense, I'll speak for myself. I get a sense of where students struggled and how important that struggle is for their learning. So my role as a teacher is not to take away their struggle or make it easier for them. It's to let them know that they're struggling in the right way, at the right time, at the right place, and to hold the space for them in that struggle so they can actually grow. Getting through the struggle is how you learn. This is online learning. This is like you've got to get yourself through the struggle. It just, you can talk yourself out of that if you don't have someone meeting you when you, when and where you need it. So I found ways to give my students pep talks when I felt that they would need those pep talks, in the form of autoresponders that are set, you know, 3 months after purchase, or a lesson-specific pep talk through video or audio that you can add that's just a little bit of extra material so people can hear it if they're feeling a little bit like, ugh, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't for me. This is too hard. Obviously, it's not for me. Finding ways in your online course to meet that need is really, really, really good for your students.
Thanks for listening, and Happy New Year.